Praise God. My name is Lori. I go to church here. And I love God. Amen. All right. So Bruce has been talking in Colossians 3, 12 through 14, and we'll just read it really quickly. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Amen. We could go home. That is so good. Clothe yourselves. Bruce talked about clothing yourselves with compassion and kindness. So if you missed it, you can go onto our website and listen to them, and they're super good. One thing I want to point out is you're chosen. You are chosen. Each one of you is chosen. You are holy. Each one of you is holy. Don't let anybody tell you you're not. And each one of you are loved. You're so loved. So clothe yourselves. I when I started thinking, because Bruce had asked me last week, you know, will you speak in humility? And I said, sure. And I started thinking about clothe yourselves. And I don't know if anybody listens to Bill Johnson. Anybody listen to Bill Johnson? Has anybody heard his message or read his book in Hosting the Presence about being clothed with God? So he tells about the story of Gideon. And this is in the Old Testament, where Gideon and his 300 men beat the Midianites, which if you read the story, the Midianites were, it says they were like locusts. They're like the sands. I mean, there was so many of them. It was a miracle that 300 men miraculously beat them by the presence of God. But in the middle of that, and if you want to read it, it's in Judges 6. There's a verse that says, so the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. Now, that sounds great, right? But it really says so much more. The word came upon actually means to put on, wear, clothe, or be clothed. In Hebrew, this literally means the Spirit of the Lord clothed himself with Gideon. The Spirit of the Lord clothed himself with Gideon. God is clothed with Gideon. God put Gideon on like a glove. If that happened in the Old Testament, how much more for being clothed with compassion, kindness, gentleness, humility, and patience is available to us? We're clothed with those things. And not only that, but in Romans 13, 14, it says, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. You're clothed. We host the presence of God and he lives through us. We receive a favor, grace, that enables the presence of God to empower us to do what is impossible for us to do. Where our personality, our emotions and mind, will, body, and gifts are all under the direct influence of God himself. Have you felt his presence? And when I went into prayer this morning, and I just felt his amazing presence. And I'm like, in his presence, it's so good. You feel such life. I feel like I can do anything. It's amazing. And you feel so loved. And you feel so much love when you're in his presence. And this is when he clothes you. And that's, it's truly, in his presence is truly where you find out who you are and who you are becoming. There's so much life, there's so much purity, goodness in his presence that it will shape and mold you into wholeness. It doesn't mean that he does it all for you, that you don't, he doesn't cancel you out. Okay, this is where, in his presence is where our unhealthy views of ourself or our unhealthy views of his plan for our life, they get revealed and healed. His presence, it's all about his presence. It's all about him. He requires relationship with us. He just doesn't want to be read about. Okay? And he won't do it without us. So when I read, clothe yourselves, it means God is clothed with glory. You say that. Put your name in there. God is clothed with your, God is clothed with you. Isn't that like humbling? I'm speaking on humility. But that's humbling to me that he would let me clothe him. Or he, we are clothed by him. So awesome, isn't it? Clothe, Bruce had talked about the meanings of clothe. And it meant have put on. It means it's on. Okay? And part of the word, I can't say the word so I wouldn't, because it's Greek, but the first part of it means it's a fixed position. It's your position. Which is so awesome. Because he is in me. I am in him. It's, remember, it's I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Right? So I am clothed with compassion, with kindness, with humility, with Jesus. I'm clothed with the Holy Spirit. I love this little story I ran into. It said that, you know, the Holy Spirit makes all the difference. And it said, when a group of British ministers were discussing inviting D.L. Moody for a crusade in the mainland, one minister asked, why must it be, you know, Moody? Does D.L. Moody have a monopoly on the Holy Spirit? Quietly, one of the ministers replied, no, but it's evident the Holy Spirit has a monopoly on D.L. Moody. Holy Spirit has a monopoly. Holy Spirit has a monopoly on you. Right? Because he lives in us. All right. So, 1 John 4:11 to 16. I just want to prove to you that God lives in you and it's in the Word and you live in him. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. Awesome, Holy Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him. And he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Did you get it? It said it several times. He is in you. You are in him. God will clothe you. So like I said, Bruce talked about the compassion and kindness. I'm going to touch on humility this week. So clothe yourselves with humility. What comes to mind when you hear the word humility? I'll give you a second to think. comes to mind when you think of humility? Is it a word that is a positive for you or a negative for you? Do you see people as being humble? I loved one of the stories I read too. It said that they gave the man a badge for being the most humble man of the year. And he put it on, so they took it away from him. Because how dare he wear a thing that says he's the most humble man of the year? And it made me think, because now when I do this, Holy Spirit always asks me, well, what do you think about humility? Because I'm like, God, what about humility? Tell me something. I want to know your heart on humility. And so I always struggled with this one, because God calls us to do great and impossible things, right? But when that starts happening in people's lives, what happens? Christians don't like them. Or people don't like them. Look at how many prophets they did not like and they killed. Or, like, everybody loves, well, maybe not everybody, but a lot of people love Smith Wigglesworth now. Oh, look what he did. God moved. But at the time, they did not like him. Isn't it funny? And you can, just because God flows through you does not mean you're arrogant or proud. Okay, so that was one of, you know, always one of my struggles. Another one is like the false humility. You know, people always putting themselves, oh, great message. Oh, no, it wasn't me. You know, that the false humility, you know, it's not, I like what, where is it? C.S. Lewis says, humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. It's not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. You know, I used to think, you know, God, heal through, I used to pray that way, heal through me, heal, you know, all this. And then I would be like, oh, but what if I get proud? You know, we did this study in the Supernatural School of Ministry, where in the whole book that the guy wrote, I don't know if there's any of the generals of God. Do you remember that book, Terry? You do? Did any of them stay the course? Yeah, because there's a lot of them where they say how well they started off, but then they faltered. And I was just like, oh man, when things start happening to you, then you're probably gonna fall. And I was like, God, what is that all about? And he said, they lose sight of who does it. You know, it is so humbling. It truly is so humbling to have the Holy Spirit flow through you and touch somebody's life. You know why it's humbling to me? Is because I know it's not me. Because you know what I do? I'm like, oh, I'm so scared. I don't want to go pray for them. I don't want to do, you know. And then I'll be like, all right, Holy Spirit, just do what you want to do. Tell me what to say. And I'll go and pray. And then all of a sudden, they're healed? Oh, no. What? You know, I don't react like that. But I know it's not me. It is him in me. And that is so humbling, because I don't have to worry about being proud, because it's not me doing it. So humility. None of those things is actually humility or a good definition of humility. Hopefully, I can give you a new perspective or a different perspective today. I feel like Holy Spirit has showed me, and I pray, Holy Spirit, give me the words to say, because I can see it, but I can't find the words sometimes to say it. So I'll give you the definitions that we have for even humble. Humble is not proud or haughty, not arrogant or assertive, Humility is humbleness of mind. A modest view or low view of one's own importance. Humbleness. Humbleness of mind. So, I was kind of like, okay, that's good, but I still don't get it. I do get it, but I want to know what is humility. So I was like, I want to look at Jesus's life. Because I believe Christ is the ultimate example, isn't he, of humility. So if we turn to Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Even the title of mine says, the humbled and exalted Christ. So let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery or something to be held onto, to be equal with God, but made himself or emptied himself of his privileges of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So by this very act of leaving heaven, coming to earth, and taking human form, Christ showed us an incomprehensible humility. We cannot comprehend what he did for us. While he was on earth, Jesus demonstrated a spirit of profound humility, saying that he came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. That's in Matthew 20, 28. On the last night with his disciples, he took a towel and basin and washed the disciples' dirty feet. One of the lowest lows jobs in that time, instructing them to follow his example of humble servanthood with one another. In John 5, 19, it says, Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. And in another place he says, whatever the Father says, that's what he will say. Humility, obedience. So Jesus's life, he served in teaching, in healing, in setting the captives free. He submitted, here I bow to lift you high. He's submission. Sub means getting underneath a mission. He submitted to God in every area of his life, in his spirit, his soul, his mind, his will, his emotions, his heart, and ultimately his body. He had unbroken relationship with the Father. Constant obedience. He knew who he was and the purpose and plan and the plan God had for his life. This to me defines humility. Humility to me is the humbleness of mind that gives you the ability to come to him and know him. It's the humbleness of mind to submit yourself to what he says. It's the humbleness of mind to be obedient. You know, Moses said that he was the most humble man on the face of the earth. He said that. And we kind of chuckle because we know we would never say that. Because if you did, you'd probably be looked at as, well, they're full of pride, right? But when I read that, I was like, he was the most humble man. He knew how to come to God. He knew how to have a relationship with God. Because without humility, you won't come. So the beauty of it is when you give your heart to the Lord, he clothes you with humility, right? You can't even accept him because you had to realize, wow, I need him. And then he becomes your savior. So humility means to me is to come. And to come low. Matthew 11, 28 to 30 says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He says, come to me. Come to me. And learn how to come low, how to come to me, how to learn how I relate with the Father. The word says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to those who come and ask. Why? Wait a minute. I don't want to get ahead of myself. So to those who come to him, he gives grace. I believe humility is the catalyst in your relationship with the Lord. And a catalyst means it's an agent that provokes or speeds significant change or action. Humility positions you to hear, see, love, obey, serve, submit, and receive. Remember, it's a fixed position. You hear him, you see him, you love, because you've come. The humble want to come to him. They want to relate to him. They want to serve. They want to submit. They want to obey. Why? Because it's life. Every time you obey him, aren't you just so incredibly happy? And you know what? Sometimes maybe you're not. And you do it, and you do it, and you keep going, and you keep going because you stand upon his word. And then you see a breakthrough. You might have went through hell, but he can always bring something out of that. Some good out of it, and you'll be amazed. Matthew 5:3 says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the humble. Blessed are the lowly in heart. Blessed are those who come to him and recognize their need. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What is the kingdom of heaven? It's all of who God is. It's yours. When you come, it's yours. And how he operates. The kingdom of heaven is who he is and how he operates. And I think in Hebrews, maybe 4:16, he talks about come boldly to the throne of grace. Right? Where you will receive mercy and help in your time of need. Come, come boldly. Matthew 18:1-4. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Who wants to be great?" Wait, I want to see hands. All right, I'm calling on all you. No, I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding. Okay, so who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles themselves as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Whew. It's pretty awesome, isn't it? Because what we hold up or hold high, and I'm not saying this is right or wrong, people that know God, don't we? We have a really healthy, or hopefully we have a healthy respect for people who can come to him and hear him and know him and operate how he would have them operate. We hold them up, and that will bring you greatness. But sometimes it's the little obediences, right, that we won't do. Humbling yourselves creates you to have to come to him and then be like, I'm going to do this, even though that does not look right or feel right or sound right, or it's not what I should be doing. I told you this story once before. I had a little girl that was going to come to camp. I found out she was a lesbian. So she's in my group of girls, and she thought we were all just going to our camp. You know, it was just going to be us 10 girls, and that was it. Found out there, you know, came and there was like 500 kids there. She's like, "What's going on? I want to go home. I don't like this. I don't want to do this." And I was just like, "All right." I said, "Let's try to do this today." Because I said, "I cannot take you home." I said, "I have all these other girls to be responsible for." So she's like, okay, I'll try to do this. She spends the day, well, we get into bed at night, and she's like, I don't want to stay. And so I went to the office. I was like, "I don't know what to do. I don't, you know." And I said, "You know what? Give me some more time." Went back and I talked to her. I said, "Can I pray with you?" And she's like, "Yes." And then she looked at me and she said, "Can I sleep with you?" And in my head, I was like, "Huh? No." You know, I'm like, "No way. I'm not doing this." Oh, no, actually, I'm sorry. I was praying for her, and the Holy Spirit said to me, "Ask her to sleep with you." And I was like, "What?" I said, "I am not asking her to sleep with me." You know, and I fought with the Holy Spirit. But then I was like, "You know what? I'll just do it." So after I got done praying, I said, "Amber, how are you doing?" And she says, "I think I'm going to be okay." And I said, "Well, would you want to sleep with me?" And she looked at me, and she's like, you'd let me do that?" And I said, "If that's what you need, I'll do that." And she goes, "Well, let me see if I can make it." And I said, "Thank the Lord." No, I'm just kidding. And I knew it was just, no. So I went and got into bed. And I have, the counselors all have double beds. So no more than like 5 to 10 minutes later, she comes down to me. She has her pillow and her flashlight. She's like, and she's 19. She's like, "Can I sleep with you?" And I was like, "Come on." She probably hasn't had a mom. And I mean, actually, I know she hasn't had a mom. But I'm just trying to illustrate, sometimes you don't want to do what Holy Spirit's saying, ask her to sleep with you. You know, and it's just, after that, I was like, "Thank you, Lord." Now, I don't know where she's at today. I would love to say that she is serving the Lord and and loves God, but I don't know. But I'm just trying to illustrate the point of just being humble in your decision, in being obedient. Because man, when you do, the Holy Spirit just works through it. So in John 15, 5, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Okay, and I love what Bill Johnson, has anybody seen what Bill Johnson came out with lately? He says, we know we can do nothing without Christ. The challenge is sometimes we do nothing with Christ. Right? That's good. It's good to hear, because I'm like, yeah, I want to be with you. Let's do this thing. Like Lisa was saying, I'm mowing the lawn and glorifying God. You know, doing the dishes, glorifying God. Wash me clean, God. You know, you can invite him into everything you do and have a blast doing it. But you know what stands in the way is pride, right? And it can cause us to not bear fruit. Pride is dangerous. It actually can be dangerous. It pushes us away from the Father, keeping us from right relationship with him. It keeps us from being taught of the Lord, right? It keeps us from, or I mean, pride thinks, I know better. I know what to do in this situation. I know. How many times is God your last resort? You've tried it all and you haven't even touched base with him yet. Pride is selfish. It thinks only of self. It's self-centered. Pride needs nothing from anyone else, even God. I always, one of my biggest things, and this takes humility, one of my biggest things that I've learned in my life is checking my resistance. Because I feel like resistance is pride. Okay, so if I'm standing in a service, and I might meddle a little bit here, but if I'm standing in a service and I'm like, oh, well, I wish they would usher me into the presence of God. You know, it's resistant. I'm resisting. Or, man, oh, I just don't like it when that person gets up there and speaks. They should just not speak. They quench the Holy Spirit. Ouch. What are you doing? You're checking yourself out. I love Joseph Garlington. This has stuck with me since the Brownsville Revival. He said, do you want to be a critic or do you want to receive? And I have found that to be so true. Do you know how many times God uses a vessel you don't like to speak to you? But you have to humble yourself, right? To hear him, because it might be someone you don't like that's going to speak to you from him. And it might not be somebody that's a Christian. You might have to humble yourselves and learn from your kids or your husband or your wife. Humility is always the start, isn't it? It's always the start of you receiving, of you hearing, because you're going to come and you're going to come low. And if you don't hear, are you going to get all huffy and puffy? Or you don't get the answer, or you don't get the result you wanted. Pride. Again, I know some people that have gone through it, and now they're seeing life on the other end. Like, unimaginable life. And it's amazing. God hates pride. Check your resistance. Even, I could go into, I mean, I really would love to do a message on unity, but like even when Kenzie asks, and probably most of you aren't in here, but she says, come to the front and let's worship. There can be a resistance. No, I don't want to go down there. No, I don't want to go down there. But if you just humble yourself and go, who knows? Right? And it's, and I've learned that I'm, if somebody gives a command, a leader, I just want to do it right away. I don't even want to let my mind think about it. Just do it. Raise my hands, come bow, come stand, dance, jump. Because you know what I've learned? That when I have felt God or heard God or experienced God in a way that is just so incredible. And I don't want to miss out on any opportunity. And plus, it creates such a unity amongst us that you know that unity commands a blessing. So, okay. So, God hates pride. Remember in Proverbs 6, it's one of the abominations. He hates pride. Because you know what it does? It keeps him from being involved in your life. Because you won't come to him in humility. Pride can destroy relationships. In Galatians 5, 14 to 15, I want to read the Amplified. Oh, good. For the whole law concerning human relationships is fulfilled in one precept. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That is, you shall have an unselfish concern for others and do things for their benefit. But if you bite and devour one another in bickering and strife, watch out that you, along with your entire fellowship, are not consumed by one another. Whew! That is not us. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. If you love God and God loves us, remember what it said? It says his love is perfected in us. It's so amazing how together we can know the love of God. And then he wants to reveal himself through us, through you. Watch what you say. I dare you to do a fast of negative words. Of negativity. Let's all go on a fast of negativity. No more negativity. Negativity. How's that? So humility to me is the key to healthy relationships. Philippians 2, 3 to 4 says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, in humility, let each esteem others better than himself. That's huge right there. It'll keep you out of a whole mess of trouble. When you think of somebody better than yourself, that submission, and by the way, the word says to submit one to another. I know there's a lot of other submits, but it ultimately comes down to submit one to another. But it does keep you out of a mess of problems, because what it does is make you about them. What is it you're experiencing? Help me understand you. And not like, oh, will you just hurt me with what you said? But when you're trying to understand what they're saying or how they're feeling, humility keeps you from a bunch of bitterness, hatred, anger. Let each of you look out only not in his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Keeping others, their interests, Romans 12:10 says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. Ephesians says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Galatians 5:13 says, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. We're called to freedom. Only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Amen? Humble yourself and serve, and you will be exalted. There's no way around it. It's His word. When you serve, you will be exalted. When you humble yourself, you will be exalted. It's who He is. You will be great. A lot of humility is knowing who you are and who you are in Him. We're not unworthy. We're not sinners. We're children of God, saved by His grace, saved by His ability. Grace to me is His ability in your life. Would you rather do it by your ability or His ability? His grace is enough. His ability is enough. Right? And you're immersed in His grace to do more than the impossible, because you're more than a conqueror. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And when the enemy comes, like a banner, he raises up a standard against it. Amen. Knowing who you are is humility, and it causes you to be strong and stand, but yet can come and say, I need you, Lord. If you would stand with me. You know, sometimes we say, I don't know what humility is, or you know what, it's, you said that I'm clothed in humility and compassion and kindness, and I am not kind. I have no compassion for people. And, you know, you can look at yourself and be in like false humility. But the thing is take His word. You know what? It's funny, when I start studying, like for a sermon or a service, you know, like this, and it's on humility, whatever I read in the Bible, I see through the eyes of humility. You know, so if there's something that you want to know about God, come to Him, ask. But then take out His word and just start reading. Look up every word on humbled, humility, humbling. Look up every, and just start reading. And then maybe just start reading the New Testament and with the lenses on of humility. And I will tell you that you will start seeing the heart of the Father. And then you will start seeing the heart of the Father flow through you to people that are around you. And then you're just amazed. You're like, wow, God, you've changed me. And I really didn't even know it. He's amazing. He's amazing. Because there is, you know what, Psalms and Proverbs, you put in humble or pride, and whoa, you know, like even like, He guides the humble in what is right and teaches His way. The reward for humility and fear of the Lord is riches, honor, and life. It's just amazing how many rewards there are. You know, and also, it's even healthy for your body. I looked it up because Bruce has been doing that. You know, it's Google. So, but listen, I liked it. Humility can produce more happiness, positive emotions, and well-being because a person has a clearer understanding of the self. They are able to be comfortable with who they are and who they are not. I liked it. I thought it was good. It's being able to come to Him. It's being humble enough to just bow low and say, God, I need you. So what I would like to do is, because I work with the kids, and they have been praying, we have been practicing praying for healing. And we have been seeing healings happening. And that's why I had, and Bruce told me, why didn't you tell that? Because a little girl got healed last week in her ankle. And she was just so surprised. But I just wanted to end this way. You know what? Kelly gave a call. If there was somebody that needs to return to the Lord, I'm going to make that call. Come forward. If you have a need in your body, I want you to come forward. There are people that are going to pray for you. And you will be healed. You'll be set free. So I want to just give that call. I will close this, and you can either head home or come forward, okay? Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for your heart. I thank you that you have clothed us with compassion, kindness, humility, God, that we can come boldly to you, Lord, into your throne of mercy and grace, and we can get help in any time, with any need, Father. You alone are gracious. You alone are lovely, kind, and good. Father, we just thank you and open our eyes to who you are in us. Who you are in us, what you want to do through us. Bless this people. Bless this family, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.